Hello, how you doing? Blog Talk Radio. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you there? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Go ahead. You're on air. You're on air.
All right. Thank you. Hi, this is Gail.
Yes.
I wanted to share a part of my testimony and a couple of rhymes with you this evening. So how are you doing, Dr. Hunter?
I have no complaints. I'm blessed.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
let me ask you.
I was just going to explain a little bit about how the rhymes got started and give a little bit of my testimony, if that's okay.
Go right ahead. It's your show. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Well, when I was asked to be a part of this show, my first thought was, I don't talk very much. I write. And so I prayed about it, and I was really struggling with what to do. And I come across a scripture out of 1 Peter 4:10-11. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen. And that really let me think that this writing the rhymes is something that God had given me, and I really had struggled with what to do with them and why this was given to me, because I'm not very good with grammar. I was not a good student in school. And it wasn't until recently that I read a paragraph in Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker, that really changed my mind and my attitude about writing these rhymes. And that quote was, too many authors worry about whether or not their books get published. This isn't the question. The question is this: are you called to write? If the answer is yes, you need to write as an act of obedience to God. And I realized that even though the grammar is not correct, the rhymes are not correct also, I write as an act of obedience to God. I write because I love God. And this is a way that this comes out as my love for the Lord. So I started, whenever I was asked to do this show, I started printing off some of my rhymes and trying to get it organized as to how I was going to do this. And I come across a rhyme that I had written a couple of years ago that really ministered to me about doing this thing. So let me give you a little bit of history on how I wrote this rhyme, what was going on with that. And I was leading a Monday night women's Bible study at my church, Victory Life, and the Bible study is One in a Million by Priscilla Shire. So the rhyme has the influence of the Israelites in the wilderness. And also the women in the Monday night group know that I am a football fan, and I prefer college football over professional, but I watch them both. And I'm an OU fan, and this also makes it a little bit funny since I lead Bible study in a Texas church, and I'm one of the few OU fans in the crowd. So there's an influence of the football in here also. The rhyme is called Parked on a Pew. It says, to reach the promised land, out of each million was only one. I want to be that one to be me, Lord, so what needs to be done? I know I have found myself parked on a pew. I really don't want to stay seated, but I have lots to do. I can't speak to you now, but I have a good reason. But you know I will catch up right after football season. I know you want to talk to me, but I really need some sleep. I'm sorry, but what you have to say will just have to keep. Here sits my Bible. I should open it and read. But I heard the scriptures in church, so is there really a need? To find the time, some changes I will have to make. But I'm so busy, God, how much time will you take? So I'm asking you, God, to renew in me a spark that will get me off this pew and out of park. Light up that fire and turn up the heat. Make it uncomfortable to stay in this seat. Because when my life is over and it is all said and done, I want to know that out of a million, I was that one. after I read that rhyme, I really felt like I needed to go ahead and take this opportunity to share them with the others, because this was something that the women in the Monday night Bible study and I have prayed, because we wanted them to be able to go out to reach the other people. And I felt like that I didn't want it to just be files on my computer, because if they ministered to those ladies there in the group, they would minister to other people also. So let me kind of give you a hint on how all this got started. But right after Keith and I got married, he and I were at the farm riding our horses when my horse fell with me and slammed me into the ground. And at that point, I ended up in intensive care. And it wasn't until I was moved into a hospital room that they realized that my equilibrium was messed up and that I had problems balancing myself and my ability to walk. And I also had a speech disorder where I could not think of words to say, and I had a severe stuttering problem. So it's been a long road to come back from getting those and getting the courage up to speak in front of people and be the witness that the Lord wants me to be. A couple of years after that accident happened, Keith and I ended up relocating to Houston. We went to church at Living Stones there in Alvin with Pastor Al Dandel for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then for 7 years, we went to Lakewood Church. Don Olstein was still alive and pastor when we started there. And then Joel Olstein became pastor, and we even was there when we moved to the old Compact Center. So it was an exciting time for us to be a part of that move in that church. But it was during that time of being in Houston that I started going to the Beth Moore Houston Night Bible study at her church. And Carnita Smith, who has Mission from the Heart, was the one who helped me get to those Bible studies, and she attended the first one with me. And it was taking those Bible studies, doing the homework, and being in the Bible and being a part of that study and really searching and asking God for revelation to show himself really gave me a love for God, a love for his word, and a love to study. And so it was through that got me hooked on Bible study and being a part of that. Whenever we ended up relocating back from Houston after being down there for 12 years, we came back to our home church, which is Victory Life, but they didn't have a nighttime women's Bible study. So I, one of my friends had said that her church was starting one up, and even though it was a study that I had already done, and I didn't know anybody at her church, I asked, is there any way I can go? Can I just be a part of that? I was just so hungry to be a part of a study. So I ended up going to her study, and through that I met some other ladies that had done Bible study at their church, and I ended up going to several of them. And it was during one of those studies, it was on the Book of Esther, that I was at home one night, and my husband and son were both asleep. I was up doing my homework, and I was in the part of the study where Esther goes before the king. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, wow, what would that be like to go before a king with your greatest request? And, you know, my first thought was, I'm going to give the money. I'm going to ask for lots of money. And then I thought, you know, that's really not it, because I have family that I want to be saved. And then I thought, that's really not it either. I really have friends that I want to know the Lord. And so I started praying and asking God what it was that I should ask for if I came to him with my greatest request. And he gave me a quote that said, to be used by God in a way that multitudes can come to know Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, that's it. Every Christian should pray that they should ask for God to use them to minister to other people. So after he gave me that and I started praying that, the next morning I was up and I was doing my homework again, And the book of Esther just started coming to me in a rhyme, and I started writing it down. And before the day was over, I had almost the entire book written in a rhyme. Now, I can tell you that I thought that it was going to be published, but I found out real quick that my grammar is not correct. And I thought by putting as much information from the Bible story into a rhyme that that would be the best way, because that way when you read to the children that they would know more about the story in the Bible. But all the rejection letters have proved that my thinking wasn't right. I also lined my niece and nephews up one day and read the story of Esther to them to get their reaction. And I can tell you that after I read it to them, one of my nieces looked at me and she said, "Aunt Gail, you need an illustrator." And I said, "Yes, baby, I do." Because it was long and boring, and I realized then that that's probably what the problem with the story. But I will read you a little bit of it. Hopefully it won't be too bad. So this is the story of This is the story of a Jewish orphan named Esther, the way God used her, promoted, and blessed her. As a young girl, both of her parents would die, though the Bible does not ever explain to us why. Mordecai, her cousin, would take her to raise. For this act of love, the man should get praise. Susa was the name of their hometown, the place where Xerxes wore the king's crown. Of 127 provinces, proud Xerxes was king, and throwing a banquet was certainly his thing. For 6 months and 7 days, they had plenty to drink. Then of Queen Vashti, Xerxes began to think. Vashti's great beauty is what the king wanted to show. But when the servant went to get her, Vashti said no. At the ply of his request, King Xerxes was mad. But the advice from his wise men was really quite sad. They said every man should be ruler over his own house, and his wife be obedient and quiet as a mouse. And Vashti herself would no longer be queen, banished from Xerxes, never again to be seen. So that's just part of the story of Esther, the rhyme that I wrote. And so after I started writing the rhymes, I started sending them off to be published, but the rejection letters kept coming. And as a quote from Debbie Maycomer, she said the rejection letters came so fast they hit her in the back of the head on the way back from the mailbox. And I thought, boy, I can relate to that. I do understand, you know, how fast the rejection letters came. But I just realized, too, that this was something that God had given me. And so I just started using it to minister to the ladies in the Monday night Bible study and sharing with them. And I wrote about different things we went through. I wrote about different books of the Bible. I wrote Ruth, Noah, Jonah, and just different studies that I had done. Because I had prayed and asked God, can you just give me something to study in between my other Bible studies? Because I just really wanted to continue to be in the Word. So he would kind of put something on my heart, and so I would just research it and end up writing it in a rhyme. And not too long ago, we were doing another Monday night Bible study, and we were doing the study of Jonah by Priscilla Shire. And it was one of the weekends during that study, and I was driving to Oklahoma City to visit my son, and I was thinking about meeting Jonah in heaven and what it would be like to hear what he has to say about the whole situation of whenever he was fleeing from God. And I just thought, you know, I really hope somebody interviews him so that I could hear him tell his side of the story. And then I realized later, whenever I was printing off my rhymes and thinking about what I was going to be talking about, I realized that even thinking about being in heaven and hoping that somebody interviews Jonah, that I was trying to get out of talking even in my thoughts whenever I was in heaven because I wanted somebody else to interview him so I could just listen. So as I drove up to the city, I was writing that rhyme. It just kept coming to me. I finally stopped in Ardmore and went into a Starbucks and sat down with my notepad and my coffee and sat there and drank and wrote some of the rhymes. And by the time I got to Oklahoma City, I had finished the interview, the rhyme called Interview with Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll share that with you also. This
glory,
is Jonah.
Glory.
Tell us what happened when God spoke to you. And he had something in mind you did not want to do. And God said to me, to Nineveh, you must go. My first thought was, replied Jonah, oh, God, no. God, don't you know how mean they are? They have robbed, killed, and left a deep scar. Ninevites are so cruel. Are they man or beast? I was not happy to go, to say the least. I tried to go to Tarshish, and I tried to flee, in hopes that God would never be able to find me. I got to Joppa and was able to get on a boat. Away from our problems, I would safely float. Then came a big storm while we were at sea. I knew without a doubt God had found me. I was asleep when the captain woke me to pray, but I was running from God, so what would I say? I figured it would be better if in the sea I drowned. So the crew threw me over, and in the water I sank down. Then came a fish, thinking I was its next meal. It swallowed me whole, and that is for real. I had seaweed on my head, and it was yucky inside. But God had found me. There was nowhere to hide. God had sent the fish for me, and that much I knew. So I figured to pray was the next thing to do. I prayed from inside the fish, and God heard my prayer. Then the fish swam to land and spit me up there. God said to me again, to Nineveh, you must go. After what I'd been through, I was afraid to say no. So I told them all, God will destroy Nineveh in 40 days. And they all repented, changed their hearts and their ways. God loved the Ninevites and interrupted my life. He was able to show me my heart was full of strife. No matter what people have done, God does care. And God is calling us to witness if only we dare. Thank you for the interview, Jonah. Is there anything else to say? Yes, said Jonah. From my experience with God, he will get his way. So that one was why I wrote about Jonah.
Well, I tell you what, you know, God, you have a great penmanship, whether you know it or not, but reaching and unreaching tell the untold. You had a lot of people on the line with you. But I guess it was something that they dropped off. They listened for a while, but they dropped off. So I said, oh, she's doing good. But all of a sudden, they just something else happened. So, but I want to ask one question to you.
Okay.
The words you write are written by you, by the Holy Spirit, securing you in your writing. Do you feel comfortable?
Do I feel comfortable like being on the air
writing,
or sharing?
Sharing the words. Do you feel comfortable sharing God's word? I mean, when you interview with God in heaven, were you in a position of enlightenment or enrichment or what kind of position were you in when you wrote that?
I was just driving and thinking about Jonah and thinking about what we had read and, you know, what he might say someday. And then the rhyme just started coming to me, and I just started writing it down.
Oh, okay. So by you writing it down, you were able at one particular time to come together and put it all in one thing.
That particular one I did. On some of the other ones, I have studied for months and months, you know, and sometimes I'll sit down and study, and even if I just get a couple of rhymes together, that is a successful day. So it comes at different ways. A lot of times it requires a lot of study for me, and sometimes, like the one with the interview with Jonah, it just seems to come really fast.
Well, you know, one of the things, I know things. I want you to be able to have those things chronicled and have your own writing where nobody can take what you said, because the credit belongs to you and to the Lord who's using you to do what you're doing. I can say this with assurance. I know God has a purpose for you in what you're doing. I mean, you can do more, say more. The pen is, as they told us, the pen is as great as it can be. When you say what, and listen to expressing how you interviewed this particular person, when you went to tell her about what the female, the woman in the Bible, what she was supposed and what she did and what Jonah was going to do, it enriched me to understand God has a way of getting his word out when he wanted out. No matter how you and I see it, but God wanted out his way. And you got it out. And I thank God for you being able to be on the radio. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay. Now, Gail, did you ever see a big black ugly man at Lakewood Church and John Osteen?
You know, I wondered, did you go to Lakewood Church?
When he was when John Osteen was alive, I was one of his personal bodyguards.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I remember that when it started from that little small house over there. I hadn't heard about it, but he was down the street at that church. What is the time then?
Well, the time that we were there was at the last part of John's life, whenever he was going through the sickness, and I was there the morning that Joel preached his first sermon, and we were there through the time that they were buying the building and remodeling and then moved to where they are now.
Yes. Well, I was out doing the young man's life when he was coming up, but I said to say this, a lot of people don't know that we call him Old Papa Osteen. When he had a word, he had a word. I watched this man do some things that some normal people can't do, because the storm that the enemy put him in, he was all able to rise up. But he always told me, he said, make sure you love your wife. He always told me this. And so I pass this on to everybody I come in contact with, because when I met Pastor Osteen was at the Shamrock Hotel downtown, where they had a big meeting with a bunch of the calling me in the Full Gospel Benjamin Fellowship, and I said I was so enlightened to meet him. He said, come sit with me for a while. And I just say this, you and I both have the same understanding what God can do. Now, here we are, after years of passing on, you might not behind the mic, so am I. And you're expressing what God wants to do with you. But also, I know that what you have to offer, there's much to be offered. Because right now you're speaking about, I see 500 people are listening. See, someone even call in. But they're listening.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that the Rhymes have been able to go out and minister to some other people.
I know it. Well, I want you to notice this. The time that you've given, there was an issue with this computer. Sometimes this computer acts like it's supposed to. You know, some things are crazy, some things are right, some things just go crazy. So I just said it like this. The best thing to do is keep it always plugged up. So, let me ask you another question. Now,
Okay,
how's your husband?
Oh, he's doing well. He was feeling a lot better on Saturday.
Uh-huh. Amen. Well, did y'all, on Father's Day, did you give him some words?
Well, I went over to my dad's ranch over in Oklahoma, and my husband was working in the yard here because he was feeling better and wanted to get caught up before his work day next week.
Well, that's what I wanted to know. But I'll tell you what, the one thing that we have to keep in mind, you and I are in the body of Christ, and God has called us to do a great work, not what we think, but what God wants. And that's all I'm about. That's all I'm about. I'll say that to you with love and kindness. Some things that I know that I have a lot of questions I want to ask you, but on this first one, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you. So until the next time, you got somebody that closes up with?
Well, I just wanted to tell people that, you know, I really struggled with the gift that God had given me. I really felt like that it really was not something that I could do very well. But, you know, I was reading something the other day that said that whatever your gift, if you can cook a casserole, take that to a mother, a single mom that has come in from work and still has kids to feed and bathe and do homework or get ready for bed. Or if you can mow a lawn, mow an elderly person's lawn, or if you can pay to have their lawn mowed, whatever gift that you have, it is all for the body of Christ. So use your gift. Even if you can't put two words together that rhyme, and if you do, it's totally by accident, that's not necessarily what your gift is. But just whatever God has given you as the gift, I think you need to go ahead and use that for the Lord.
Well, praise the living God. Now, will you close that with a prayer?
Yes. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity for us to come together and, Lord, share our thoughts and our hearts and our love towards you. Father, I just ask that you just bring the gifts forward and people to show them whatever their gifts are, Father, that they can use that gift to give you glory. Father, if it's only ministering to one person, then that person is important to you. And, Father, I just ask that they use that gift. Give them the strength and the courage to use that gift to go forward in your name and bless that other person, Lord. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I know a lot of the people on the line listen. And I want to say to them, you know what? You have the right to call in. And she's going to do a great job. She's done a great job. I think God is doing with her. It's awesome. So, Gail, I always say these words. I love you.
I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to minister.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you until we meet again. I'll see you on the other side. Thank you. Next Monday night. God bless you.
God bless you.
How you doing?
I'm good. And you?
I'm okay. I want to thank you for being on the radio program tonight.
But y'all, you hung up all of a sudden. But thank you for calling. Oh, well, let's see this.
And I wasn't on the radio,
oh.
And I don't know you.
Oh, okay. 3836.
You're a very kind person.
Yes, ma'am.
And I appreciate you.
Yeah.
And I can't hope to answer your calling.
Well, you know what? Forgive me because I did dial the wrong number, but the Lord Jesus Christ bless you and keep you. Hello. How you doing? Good. This is Brother Hunter. And I noticed you were on the radio. You hung into the radio station that you, and I want to call you and tell you thank you for calling. Amen. And the Lord, sir. Oh, really? Well, that's good. Gail's good. She's a blessing of the Lord. She's a blessing of the Lord. And as I heard it one day on the radio station, I asked somebody that she wrote that poem. I want to find out. And so I told her, I said, come on, let me give you some time. If you really like it, we can get something moving for you. But I want to thank you, sir, for just being there for her and with her. Amen. God bless you. Peace. Hello there. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
All right. You'll be on in a few minutes.
Okay.
Amen. Go right here. Go right here. It's on there. You're on.
Okay. Okay. Good evening. This is Tracy.
This is Tracy.
Welcome to Purging
Power.
Power. Oh.
You all right?
Yeah, I just hear myself. When I'm talking, I hear myself.
I hear myself. Okay.
It's just a little distracting.
Well, I got the computer on. That's the reason why.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're doing good.
Okay. Do you hear the computer?
Ma'am?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, tonight I wanted to discuss...
I'm lowering the volume. Go ahead. Can you hear it now?
Okay. No.
I hear you though.
Okay. tonight I'm going to discuss casting your cares upon the Lord. That He's a very present help in the time of need. He's a very present help in the time of trouble.
Amen.
You know, there's a beautiful song that says, "You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Not in my savings account, not in my friends, but whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Are your bills open to me? Have you gotten an eviction notice?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your children are strung out on drugs. have you been diagnosed with a disease that's frightening to you? Or maybe you're faced with the possibility that your marriage is coming to an end. You know, if these are all very frightening, they can be very frightening situations if we focus on them. But God is giving us an answer when trying times come, when unsurmountable situations come, unbearable circumstances arise. Jesus says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Not to deny that you have the problems, but He doesn't want our focus to be on the problem. He
Amen.
Wants us to focus on the solution. Not denying that there is a problem,
Hallelujah.
But focusing on the answer to the problem is God's response to our crises. He says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds.
Amen.
So when we have depressing, trying, scary circumstances, he says to present that to him, leave it there. Now, leaving it there could be the problem, but he gives us a resolution to that too. The next verse says that whatsoever things are pure, lovely, pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you think on these things. So when you leave that at the altar, when you leave your circumstances at the altar, God understands that we have a tendency to want to continue to think about it and worry about it because it's so real, it's so intimate, it's so threatening. But God tells us to turn our thoughts toward him. Turn our thoughts toward his promises. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, the promise that he put in his word, the beauty that is found in his word, whatever you can think on that is soothing and peaceful and calm, put that on your mind and keep it on your mind. You know, you can go into pray, you can go into worship, because God understands that our minds and our hearts can cause us to worry and to fear unnecessarily. But he promises us that for our worry, he will give us peace. He says, in exchange for your worry, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart. That means he will remove your anxiety, the heart, mm-hmm. with your emotion, and it will keep your mind that will deal with your worrying. So when in exchange for our worrying and our anxiety, God promises us to give us peace. But we have to continually cast that care upon him, casting down those imaginations. The King James Version says imaginations, but it really means our thoughts. Casting down those thoughts or imaginations that exalt itself against obeying what God has told us to do, and that's giving him our problems and our circumstances and leaving it there. And when they arise, God says, cast them back down and replace those negative thoughts with his word, with his promise on how good he is. Psalms 56 verse 3 says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Amen.
That's Psalms 56, 3. Whenever I am afraid, not, you know, God understands that we have these emotions, these fears, and the enemy wants to terrorize us. But God says when you are afraid, you turn to him. Whenever I am afraid, I make the choice to trust in you by putting my focus on your word and trusting that you are faithful, that he is faithful, and that he is going to do what he promises he will do. I can't tell you how many times and time and time again. You know, I mean, it's just the theme of my life. I have moments and periods of time where it's peaceful, and then I have times where, you know, it's a challenge. But I can tell you, God in heaven is my witness, that each time as a child of God, he has brought me through. I didn't want to go through the situation. I mean, the situations were not pleasant, but I can say without a doubt, I can't really explain to you anything or teach you anything. I just really don't feel like I can teach you anything that I haven't been through. Or that mm-hmm. I can really effectively communicate to you. And I was standing today in prayer to God, how can I sincerely tell people that you will bring them through if I don't believe it? You know, if I don't have proof that he has brought me through, and he has brought me through. And so I cannot sit up here and say that you will not go through this. I mean, I go through this, so You know, and the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it also says that the Lord delivers him out of them often. Time and time again, you just got to trust God. Now, when you're going through it, it may seem like you're not going to get through it, but I'm telling you, God is not a man that he should lie. You're going through it, but he promises to bring you out. He just wants us to put our trust in him. And so he doesn't want us to fear. That fear has torment. Okay? Fear has torment. And God wants to keep his people in perfect peace. Time and time again, it is the good pleasure of God that his children sustain perfect peace. No matter what you're going through, Jesus says, peace be still. Now, you speak that over your life. Peace be still. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? Peace. Peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace is an element that is found in the kingdom of God. You know, and so when there is when you feel that storm, as the song says, raging in your life, you know, just speak those words out of your mouth on the authority that God has given. Peace be still. When your children or your spouse acting crazy, peace be still. You know, speak the peace of God over your life, because God promises peace. You can hold on to your peace. Prayer and praise, okay? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And in the presence he inhabits, that means his presence is evoked through praise. Not really for a fact. His presence is evoked through praise. You just have yourself on a really good praise and worship city. Now, this suggestion, you put you on a really good praise and worship CD, and you sing right along with it with the sincerity of your heart, I guarantee you, let me tell you, I, George Foreman, guarantee you, the peace of God is going to usher into that room where you're praising him, and that's the promise, time and time again. So, and so the presence of God, the praises go up, evokes the presence of God, and the presence of God brings in the peace of God. And so, and that's what God wants us to stay. He wants us to stay in that state and realm of peace. No matter what we are going through, he wants to keep us in perfect peace. The word says that he will keep us in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Here he is again, okay? God is promising to keep us in perfect peace, okay? But here's the stipulation. Whose mind is stayed on him. Again, God says you've got to turn all of your focus and all of your attention. All of your effort has to be placed on keeping your mind on him. Don't look at the problem, okay? Look to the solution. Look, God is, this is the ingredients. Okay, if you want to look at the problem is going to create fear. God, and that's just the way we're built. The problem is going to create fear. God wants us, because that's the way we're designed. God wants us to turn our focus and our attention on the solution, and he promises that will keep us in perfect peace. He says, whose mind is stayed. That word stayed means fixed. It's fixed on Jesus. And so that is our goal. And that is the solution to your problem. Keep your mind on him, your focus on him, praise him. Keep your mind on the word. Not denying that the problem is there, but what can you do about it? I mean, if you could fix it, then you wouldn't be worried. But keep your mind on him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You keep your mind on him that is able to save to the uttermost. You keep your mind on the one whose arm is not short that he cannot heal. So, you know, you have to keep your mind on the answer. I mean, as the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, the Good News Bible says what he thinks is what he really is. Okay? So what you think, it pulls and tugs on your emotions. And when you get emotional, we tend to respond and act. As human beings, we tend to respond and act according to our emotions, and God does not want us to do that. You know, it's just the way we're wired. If you know someone that just reminisce on someone that you've known in the past, and, you know, they were always nice to you, they had a positive attitude, they were kind, they did kind things for you, well, that raises positive emotion about it. You start to feel a smile on yourself. That's just the way we're wired. You know, at the same time, when you start thinking about something someone did to you in the past, maybe you were taken advantage of, or, you know, whatever the situation is, you dwell on that song, those negative emotions will start to rise. So God wants us to keep our minds focused and centered on him. Because he's the Prince of Peace. And so we keep our minds and stay and focus on the peace of God that passes all understanding. It will keep our hearts and our minds. And so, God is going to work everything out according to his pleasure. He's going to work it out. So you trust that no matter what you're going through, once you cast your care upon the Lord, that God is working your path. He's going to work it out. You just have to trust and believe that God is working in your behalf and to work everything for the good. The Bible says to those that love the Lord. Now listen, God is not moved by your needs as your obedience. So remember, when God tells you to do something, when you cast your care upon him, he may, you know, in your prayer time, he may give you a word. Remember, obedience is key. Obedience is key. No matter how weird or bizarre or whatever, small or large, whatever God is telling you to do, because no matter what he's telling you to do, all things is working together for your good. So you just have to trust him, even in situations where you do not understand him. I'm going to end right there, but I also want to say to you that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Just the Bible, you know, there's a beautiful hymn that says, to turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Turn your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. Remain focused on him. And trust him no matter what. Because he is going to work things out for your good. And I'm going to end it right there. I thank you for listening and tuning in. If there's anyone that has not accepted Jesus as their Savior, and you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you can just repeat these words after me. And it's just as simple as Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in your book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that those that were listening, I hope and I pray that you were blessed by the program, so powerful. And I thank you very much for tuning in.
Amen. But one thing I will say to you with your program is outstanding. Outstanding. The time you take to dig into the word, to break it down, make it plain, make it clear, that's what the world needs to know. And I like one thing you kept reiterating it, putting it home. Put your trust in the Lord, not things, not people, not situations. I think it's what we need to tell the people of Christ, particularly the body of Christ. And as a woman of God, I thank God for you standing up in your position. And what we need to do consistently is stay in the vein of trusting in Jesus Christ.
And trusting in him.
That's it, trusting in him. Because I'm just going to tell you, sister, the more man wants you to trust in him, the arm of flesh will fail you every time.
Yes.
If you don't know God like you say you know God, that arm will fail you every time. Because the arm of flesh has its own credentials that it wants to do. But I say this to you. You've done a great job tonight. God has blessed you. You just got much to say. I know it's a lot that's happening. Because I wanted to say this to you. I know many times I just say, well, Lord, I done prayed. What else do I do is just continue trusting me. I say, okay. Well, we get to keep trusting. And it just appears that the more you trust in God, see, but it's the enemy, as you pointed out, that keep pressing in on us. So we have to stay steadfast, pray one for another. I thank God for you. I thank you, God, for you. For Pearls of Power, I know this much, it's getting better and better and better and better and better and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And the more I can say, I've been before the Lord, and I say this to you, God is calling all of his saints, the fivefold ministry, because they've got to start become more trustworthy of what God said. Did he not say, would I make it pure? God said it. He said, would I not make it good? When God says something, would I not make it perfect? Yes, he'll do it. He'll do it every time. And so, sister, I want to thank you once again. And the words you have said have been exonerated to the highest place. And I look forward to seeing you next time on the radio station. So, such time, may God bless you and may God keep you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, today is another day, Father. We just say thank you. We love you. We adore you. We magnify your name. We thank you for your name that's above every name. Your name is a name that we reconcile to. Your name is a name that we have self-worthiness in. Your name is a name that reaches out beyond understanding. And Father, I just thank you this day for the time we have, that I have, to come before you and say thank you. Some man or some woman is walking the wrong way. They're in that sin pit. Let us reach down and pull them out by the anointing of Jesus Christ. Let them know that all things are possible if they can believe. And as our sister taught the word, Father, I pray that you will give her fullness of grace to do what you call her to do, the purposeness in what you call us all to do. And then, Father, I just pray right now before the next program come on, I pray for the people who say they are Father. Father, can you wake them up? Can you wake us up, Father? Can you wake us up? Can you bring more wisdom to us so that we can understand the wisdom, not understanding, that it's you, God. I ask the men today that listen, that can't come on the radio station, become a man of humility, a man who sees things as God said. And the more we allow God to do what he says he's going to do, nothing can happen. But Father, I just want to thank you for the greatness that you've given me, how you kept your hand over me and loved me and showed me the way I need to go. I bow my head and my heart to you. All that I have belongs to you. All that I hope to do belongs to you. All that you shall do in me belongs to you. And I just thank you, Father, for another day of opportunity. And Father, I love you, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, and amen, and amen. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. I love you. I love you, Father. I love you. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, amen. Well, hello there, lady.
Good evening.
Are you there? Amen.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. Well, it's been another day. We want to thank God for you coming on with your program. So you got it. Go and get on it. It's your program. You got it.
Well, we thank God it is his program and that we speak the words that he wants to speak tonight and that he use us according to his glory.
Amen.
We just stop and just say, Lord, have your way. Let it be all of you, Lord God, and none of us. Speak through our vocal cords. Think through our minds. Lord, let your will be done. And, Father, we just pray for all of us on the radio that we have a heart to receive and ears to hear, oh God. Father, let us be good ground tonight to hear what you have to say to us.
Yes.
We bind the enemy that comes up against this station, and it comes up against each and every one of us individually. We declare that you won't be able to keep a darkness over us, but that we will see the glorious light of the gospel tonight in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And all that's been said before now and all that will be said, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. The word of the Lord is coming from Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 22 through 31. And I will read it. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on.
The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen?
Amen.
So what we worrying about? That was Jesus talking. You know, anxiety and these taking thoughts, this is all anxiety, this is all fear. What do we have to worry about? Jesus just told us that God take care of the birds, the grass, the lilies. And we're sitting up here worrying about something that we can't change. We're sitting here wasting our time and our energy. And actually, worry has a big impact on your health. You're really causing yourself to be in stroke, heart attack territory. And you know, worry pleases the enemy.
Oh, yes.
Fear pleases the enemy. That's what he operates in. So if you want to open the door for him, keep worrying and keep operating in fear. You know, it was a word that we been through earlier in 2 Timothy. And it's just real simple, and that's something I probably will continue to talk about all the days of my life, wherever I am, whatever platform the Lord give me, whether it's one-on-one or me talking to somebody on the street. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, that's 2 Timothy 1:7, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You know, that's the truth of the matter. We don't have anything to worry about. Your life is more than what you possess. You know, we are so much in an uproar over stuff. You know, in my family, we had 3 funerals last year. You know, we've been going through these people's stuff the whole year. We give this part of their stuff to this person, that part of their stuff to the other person. You sitting up here worrying about stuff that people are going to separate after you leave this earth. This stuff does not matter. People will rank you, and they will judge you based on what kind of car you got, what kind of house you live in. But the bottom line is, you ain't rich toward God if you focusing on this stuff all the time. You done set up your treasures here on earth, and that's not going to help you with eternal life. You know, you can sit up here and ride in the Bentley and think that that's your worth. That's not your worth. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with having a Bentley, but if you judge yourself or you judge others on that Bentley or on those type of clothes you wear, something is wrong with that picture. You know, our priority as Christians should be seeking first the kingdom of God, and God will give us whatever we need.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give us all these things. We don't have to worry about food, clothes, what we're going to put on. You know, like I said, people will rank and file you on what you got, on the basis of what kind of stuff you got. And they will say, well, this person is this because they got this, this, and this. Well, that's not correct, because, you know, our correct thinking should be in line with eternal life, because one day we will take our last breath. Then what you going to do? If you put all your trust and your treasure here on earth, then you have nothing. You have nothing left for when you get to eternity. When I say nothing left, you haven't prepared yourself for eternal life. You know, in verse 21, it simply says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That's what matters, being rich toward God. And then God will put us in places and give us the things that we need. But if you put your treasures on earth, you'll get wrapped up in this thing. You know, there's a lot of rich people that don't have peace. They got a lot of money, but they ain't got no peace. You see rich people committing suicide. Now, you going to tell me that they'll commit suicide? They got all this stuff, all this money. Something is wrong. They're not rich toward God. You know, something is wrong if the stuff don't satisfy you, it's wrong. And you know it don't. You know, I've been down that road, too, where I said, well, I got to get this. And when I got that, I wanted something else. It's just like greed. You never get enough. It never satisfies you. And the thing about it is, our focus has to be in God. And, you know, God created us just for that. He created us to have a relationship with him. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
And the most beautiful part about this thing is that you have a choice. You don't have to choose God. But that's the best choice, though. Because everybody in this world is looking for peace. And they're looking for it in different places. But you can't get it without the Prince of Peace. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, making him Lord and Savior of your life. That's the only place that you will find peace. I tried. I tried all kinds of places. I tried the drugs, the alcohol, the relationship. I tried every place you could find. But it don't work. And I mean, I tried some of them 10, 12, 20 times over, trying to make sure it wasn't there. You know, and the thing about it is that we keep repeating this learned behavior over and over, and it's still not there. You know, I've heard somebody say, change ain't change till you change, and continuing to do the same thing and expecting different results is insanity. You know, we got to quit doing this insane behavior because you won't find your peace in this stuff. You won't find your peace in the relationship. You won't find your peace in that pipe out there. You know, that crack pipe or that crack needle. You know, they can melt it down and put it in the vein. I know all about it. I know everything. Because, you know, I was out there trying to find that piece in that. I already know. It ain't there. You can get high so much, and you're still looking for another hit.
Another hit. That's it.
And, you know, and the devil's sitting back there in your ear, if you can just get one more hit, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
You see, somebody out there hear me, and they know I know what I'm talking about. Then they can go, you done paid $1,000, and you peeping out the window. You acting like you paranoid schizophrenic. That's what you paid for. You paid for a big dose of fear, and you never get that peace that the devil have promised you. If you just go get a hit tonight, it's going to be peace. He lying to you. Come off that roller coaster. You don't have to live like that. God has made a promise to us for peace. And we can change that thing tonight, and we can turn our life around, and we can make Jesus the Lord of our life.
Amen.
That's all I'm telling you to do is to try this peace. This is the peace that's beyond all understanding.
Amen.
I went down a rabbit trail, but it was a good trail. I was going to come up to that at the end, but still want to get back on this word. You know, you can have all these things and not have God, and you're still not happy. Things don't bring peace. Greed and wanting and seeking and getting material possessions, you still ain't got peace.
Still
and like
ain't
I
got
said earlier, the only peace that you can find is from the Prince of Peace, and Jesus. You know, he's already told us, you know, come unto me, you know, and I will give you rest for your soul. He's the only place that we can find peace. And, you know, this is Jesus talking in the section that I just read. And it was talking about worry. And he commands us not to worry, but only have faith. And this can free us from this anxiety of this world. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this anxiety, greed, and this covetousness, always wanting something, always wanting what you see your neighbors with, the Joneses got down the street, all that always causes anxiety. And this worry is pointless. You know, it's pointless because it cannot fill any of our needs. Worry is foolish because the creator of the universe loves us so much and he knows what we need. And that's mm-hmm. where that passage comes from, is seek me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yeah. Seek ye first. That's where that comes from. I got what you need because I'm your creator. I know what you need. He's created us all. We are all individuals. None of us are created alike. We got all these different fingerprints, and we are all different. And he knows what each and every one of us need. It's just like when you take your car to the manufacturer. You don't. If you got a Cadillac, you ain't taking your car down to Volkswagen. And it's just like us. We need to take ourselves back to God. He is our creator. He knows what we need. And see, we've been trying all this other stuff. I'm speaking to you on the radio tonight. Try Jesus. This is your creator. All he wants is a relationship with you. And that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. That's the best thing in the world that you could do tonight. And you know, we need to stop this worrying. We need to stop this anxiety behavior, you know, being anxious. We have to stop that. You know, if you're born again, you should not be worrying. Because if you start to worry, it should let you know, okay, it's time to pray. It's time to give this stuff over to the Lord. It's time to lay it down. And hear what God has to say about it. That's simple trust in God. We got to simply trust God. And that's praying and laying it down to him and then listening to see what he's going to speak to us on how to help whatever situation we're going through. Seeking the kingdom of God above all else means making Jesus the Lord. And even mm-hmm. if we're born again, there may be some areas where we done knocked him off as being Lord. We can put him back up there. And you know, is he Lord in every area of our life? And if you're not born again, you need to make him Lord. Because if you really examine your life, you know I'm telling the truth. He must control every area of our life. It's just a stressless life, and you don't have to live under stress. God didn't call us to live a life of stress. He gave us every solution to everything we're going through. He must control every area, our work, our play, our plans, our relationship. You know, if there's any, you know, I got a few questions I want to ask you tonight, and I want you to think about it. Is the kingdom only one of your many concerns? Or is the kingdom the main area of your life? Are you seeking the kingdom? Or is it in a long list of your many concerns? Mm-hmm. Number two, I want to ask, are you holding back any areas of your life from God's control? Number three, I want to ask, I want you to think about these things I'm asking. Have you surrendered all to him? Are you born again? That's what I asked earlier. Do you need to rededicate your life to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because on down here in verse 40, or this same chapter, you know what it tells us? Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. You know, God didn't call us to live this life. He didn't call us to live in fear. He didn't call all that for us. He called us to live a life of peace. No matter what's going on in your life, and everybody got something going on. Don't you think that these folks they get dressed up and go to church like ain't nothing happening in their life, and they have them tell you they look good. You be thinking that they ain't got nothing going on, but honey, they frontin', 'cause everybody got something. But you know what?
Amen.
May be the key. These good-looking people may know, they may know peace because they put it all down to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell us to carry these heavy burdens, you know. He didn't tell us to do that. He told us to give it to him. He said, you that are heavy laden, come unto me. I'm going to give you rest. You take, let's trade. You give me your heavy stuff, and I'm going to give you my stuff that's light and easy. Now, you know that's beautiful.
Amen.
You can do that tonight. You don't have to live weighed down, pressed down, oppressed, depressed. You don't have to live like that. See, I lived many years of my life like that. And I was on the radio Friday night. I heard the man of God talking about depression. That's a bad, bad way to go. And God didn't call us to live like that.
Amen.
That's a plan of the enemy. And no matter where you are tonight or what's going on in your life, it can change right now. It can change right now. I want to give you a chance, if you're on the radio, to speak up. You know, you can turn your life over to Christ right tonight, and I'm ready to pray with you, the prayer of salvation. We can pray the prayer of deliverance. We can pray any prayer you need tonight and get help from God. All we got to do is pray believing. When the Bible says, when you pray believing that you receive, it shall be done. That's what it says. I believe it.
Amen.
I'm not going to keep reading this Bible and declaring that I believe Jesus and not believe it. I believe every word from the table of content to the map in this Bible. I believe it all. And I got one last question to ask before I open it up for anyone that wants to ask for prayer, they want to turn their life over to Christ, you want to rededicate, you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got one question to ask you. If you died right now, where would you go? If you died right now, if you took your last breath right now, just think about it. Where would you go? Would you go to heaven or hell? And if there's any doubt in your mind that you wouldn't go to heaven, we can pray that prayer of salvation right now. That was a question that was asked to me in 1995. And when they asked me that question, I found myself up at the altar. And I thank God. I don't even know the person that jumped in front of me and asked me that question. But I praise the Lord for whoever that was, because that turned my life around.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
God is waiting on you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting on you tonight. And he's ready to forgive you of your sins. There's nothing that you can do so bad that he can't forgive. He said he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Turn your life over to Christ tonight. Rededicate your life to Christ if you need to. You don't have to live like that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know what? There are a lot of people on the line, but nobody... It's a chiming, but apparently sometimes you done got some fish on the hook, and they're still paddling in the water. But I say this to you, my beloved sister, to God be the glory, what you have done, and where God is looking at right now, what you have done, stay patient, stay patient, stay patient. Because the work that God has for us to do, for us, you know, as I said, us, to those who are called by him to do the right thing. And I like those gospel, I call them gospels, because they put out something plain and simple. And when they put them out so plain and simple, a lot of people just won't do, some people just, they want Jesus, but they don't know what to do. And I'm just saying to you, stay with the plier. Stay with it. Because Jesus has told you and I, we are not worthy if we look back. This world has nothing to offer us but chaos and confusion. And then one thing I'll say to you is I like the fullness of God in you. I like the attitude of God in you. I like the wherewithal of God in you. I like the way, and as I was telling some ladies I know, I said, there are a lot of women that don't love the Lord, but say they do. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. They love whatever they want to love. Men are the same way. And, you know, I was just sitting there, may I share this with you?
Yes.
Okay. I have a little thing I wrote some time ago about why. I said, why all the suffering in the world? Why is there real and lasting peace? Why is all persecution in the name of Jesus Christ? Why do all the rabbis believe in him? I don't. And so I went on, why? I said, why don't all the rabbis believe in him? Again, I said, truth. Even in the truth is Jesus' name. See, when I just began to, some couple years and years ago, I had somebody sit down with me and wrote this here. Because sometimes the question of W-H-Y, who, what, why, who, what, when, and why. So, why is a question I used to continue to ask. Now I say what you just said, because here's what I said. If these answers make you angry, be assured, it's not my intention. Often the truth, as you said, often the truth is not a convenient thing to hear. Those different questions, the points you were making out. But if those answers speak to you, we challenge you to speak with God. See, we live in a time where we got to just stay focused. Stay focused. Amen.
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 Amen. The more focus we have in the Word of God, the better we can have God to do for us. And I will say this to you that are listening, and I was hoping somebody would, nobody wants to hear them, but I will say this to you. I want to thank God for you, for what you're doing, for your creativeness. Stay with God. Don't even worry about it. God is moving you to the point. And I just say this, hallelujah, 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 somebody.
Hallelujah.
Because God, somebody, somewhere got saved. And you know, I want to share this praise report concerning my brother-in-law. Well, they called my wife and said he wasn't doing good. They said they took a tube out of his throat where his lung was deflated, yada, 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 yada. You know, I told my wife, I said, baby, God is still in charge. God is still
Amen.
In charge.
Amen.
God is still in charge. Now, if God will hear my petition, I knew he would hear our petition. But see, as I was saying to her, some more people, I said, the one thing we got to come to understand is, when you go and read the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, this is the petition that we have. That we ask him anything, we know that he hears us. And that's part of my petition. For the sick, for those that are just on the beds of affliction, and not just sitting back looking at what happened, what's going on right here in Houston, where a woman found the baby been put in the ice box for over a month. And nobody can seem to say, what's wrong? And that's why I'm declaring and decreeing that more now than ever, if you're not ready, you better get ready, because we don't know when he's going to come. Too many signs are being pointed toward us to see it. to say it, to believe it. And Sister Thompson, Minister Thompson,
Sonia,
all I can say is you are a good, great woman of God. God uses you, and you don't hold back. I like it. Like you're taking, it's like taking a, you know what a paddling boat is?
praise the Lord.
Amen. So that's what you do with the word. You just keep going, just paddle, and just lift it up a little higher, harder. That's what Mama uses. That's what Mama had a towel, a paddling boat. And that's what sometimes we have to put the word. Because the enemy doesn't care about us. Like you said, come on, get your little shot here, huh? You're going to be all right. Go on, sniff call, man. You're my man. We're on your team. Liar.
You know the enemy, he really does a good number on us.
Yes.
But we don't have to allow that. We don't have to live like that. And, you know, people get in these positions where they think that's it for me. They get in these positions where they think that there is no hope. I know I was there. I'm thinking I got to clean up myself before I can come to the Lord. No.
Amen.
That's the wrong thinking. You're wrong. I was there. I used to think like that.
Hallelujah.
The devil is a liar. And the thing is, you come like you are. The Holy Spirit is the one that clean you up, not you. You got yourself in the mix. Come on now. Come on, somebody. Woo. Let's get real with it because, see, people need to hear this. They see these church folks and they think, well, they got it all together and I got to get mine together before I can get like that. But somebody needs to tell it tonight.
Somebody needs
to open up these closets and let, when I open mine up, defects, all them bones come out. And I don't care because I'm delivered.
Hallelujah.
I don't care about you knowing about my past because, baby, they'll help you. You know, I'm not trying to hide. I've been like that woman. I'm like Mary. It's about 7 or 12, 15, 20 demons come out of me. You know?
Yeah.
And he can do the same for you, but the bottom line is you can't clean up nothing. If you out on the street prostituting, or if you in the house prostituting, whatever you're doing, you can bring it to Jesus. If you got the needle in your arm tonight, you come on to the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You can't stop that. You addicted.
In a vain.
If you addicted, you come to the Lord. He is the 12-step program. You know they want you to say 12 steps and all that. No. He can do it in one moment of deliverance.
That lady
for 12 years. She spent all her money. Every bit of her money was gone, and she was worse. She wasn't supposed to come out that house. It was against the law in Leviticus. You can look at it yourself. They're supposed to kill her if she come out of the house.
That's right.
Anything she sat on was unclean. Everybody knew about her. She walked out. She heard about Jesus. That's why it's so critical. It's critical for us to get on this radio and preach this gospel. Somebody going to hear about Jesus. And when they hear about Jesus, they can make their mind up. I ain't got to live like this no more.
Amen.
No.
That woman made her mind up, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment.
Hem of his garment.
The Bible say, and straightway, immediately. Immediately. She got her miracle.
Immediately.
She didn't send in money. They wasn't talking about sending in $400 for us to send you the bless rag and all that. No. She heard that Jesus was a healer.
Oh, Jesus. He ain't
saying about no sin, no and get the 15-point blessing. No, they ain't say all that. And she believed. They preached that gospel to that lady.
Yeah.
See, I want to be like the person that was preaching to her. She heard about Jesus. Somebody talking. That's who I want to be like. They don't even mention the name of the person. I don't even care if you know my name. My name ain't important. But I want you to know from my mouth that Jesus can heal anything. Jesus, he died on the cross for our sin. You ain't got to care that sin no more. And when you say, Lord, forgive me,
Mm. When you say, I repent of my sins, and I make you Lord of my life, it's finished. That old stuff is gone. You done stepped into the newness of life just that quick. If you pray, believe, and you receive. Come on now, somebody.
Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
The gospel right there.
Oh,
it's not just
hallelujah.
Salvation. He heals us. He gives us peace. His Bible says he was bruised for our iniquity. It says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Our peace now. Come on now. That's peace. And by his stripes, healed. So we got forgiveness, we got peace, and we got healing. Now, what else can you want? And then God said in his word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things that you need going to be added to you. You got a complete package.
Come
on
now.
Come on now. Somebody got to tell me.
Amen.
No,
amen.
We ain't perfect. And I had all kind of stuff going on. People just didn't know it. I knew how to put my makeup on too, baby. And
come
I knew how to look
it.
Like I wasn't doing
my
what I was doing.
God.
I knew how to show up at work and not look like I had been out hitting crack all night. I knew how to do that. I knew how to get around them urinalysis. I knew all that.
Mm.
I lived that lifestyle. I'm looking over my shoulder for years. You don't have to live like that. You ain't got to be no hoe. You ain't got to be no addict. And the thing about it is you don't clean that up. You bring that to Jesus, and he trade with you.
Yes.
He take your mess. Your junk, he already, matter of fact, you know what? He saw you on your worst day, and he got on that cross. He took the nail in his hand. He took the crown of thorns when he saw you on your worst day, baby. Ain't nothing you can clean up. He already knows. The Lord know everything.
Yeah.
All you got to do is come to him tonight. You know, I was not even at a church. When I turned my life over to Christ, I was sitting outside smoking a cigarette. Thanks. And you know what? I looked up to heaven. I said, Lord, I'm just tired of my life like this. And you know what?
Yes.
That was an earnest cry out to the Lord.
Come on.
Do you know that when I got finished with that cigarette, because I finished the cigarette, I never had another one in my mouth again.
Come on. Tell it.
And I didn't stop smoking. The Lord took those desires from me standing out there.
Come on.
And when I walked back in, I walked back in a new woman. I walked back in. I didn't smoke. I didn't fornicate. I didn't drink no more. And matter of fact, you know what surprised everybody else? I wasn't cussing like I was cussing when I walked out there. They said, "What? You know what they said? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" I said, I don't know, but I know I need to find me a Bible and I need to see the chaplain right now.
Yes, hallelujah.
He changes you like that. It's a transformation by God. It ain't your work. And that's what God has for you. He has a great exchange tonight.
Yes.
You don't have to live like that. You don't have to look over your shoulder no more.
Thank you.
You don't have to do those things you really don't want to do. You got that getting high. You don't want to get high. I've been there. I felt that. But I didn't know how to get out of that trap until I heard about Jesus.
Thank you, Dad.
And see, that's why I say it's so important for us to talk about the gospel, to preach the gospel on this radio station. Preach the good news. People need to hear the good news from our mouth. They need to hear our testimony. Standing up here looking like we've just been pressed, you know, and like, you know, we've been like this all our life. That devil is a lie. We ain't been like this all our life. They need to hear us. They need to hear us tell about how he brought us out.
Yes.
And they'll be able to come out too.
Come on, sister. Amen. Girl. Yeah. You got the paddle in your hand. You got the paddle in your hand.
Amen.
Well, you know, one of the things I'll say again tonight, on this particular night, the word of God has been preached. It's been preached with reverence before the Holy Father. And I know somebody behind the line that heard what God has done. And what you imputed was the true facts. We all have had an experience. Everyone that's on the radio know that they've had their experience before. But he came step one and said, Lord, I need to stop this smoking. And look what God did for him. See, right now, somebody that's on the radio out there listening to Radio Land, you've heard the call. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I was at home one day when I was a young man in Houston. I was about 30-some-odd years old. All of a sudden, my mother, she told me one day on a Thursday, she said, I'm just, the life I have, I'm through with it. I've done all I'm to do. I want to go be with the Lord. That Monday, I got a phone call from my hometown in Brown, Texas, that my mother died of a massive heart attack. So I said, my God. But that was her request. And I said to those out there listening on the radio, God is still available. Whether you got the needle, whether you got the wrong dress on, whether you think you want to be a woman, when you're a man, you want to be a man, when you want to be a woman, no, you come straight to Jesus. God has a, let me give you this. When Jesus, when the sin Jesus took on his body, and he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. In other words, my God, why have you forsaken me? God will not look on sin. Now think about this here right quick. If he didn't look on sin while his son was in sin, don't you think God's going to look at you if you don't know Jesus Christ and you still got sin? You need to come to the purifier. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. His name is Jesus Christ. And you can come and say to him, as she said, and I want it to be known tonight. Tonight. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. From the west coast to the east coast, from the north to the up south to all over the United States of America. Somebody.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's why I said we're going to have a revival. I've already got it programmed for the 28th and 29th of August here in Houston. And we got a lady that's going to come in with another person going to preach nothing but the raw, true gospel. And God has promised so. Somebody say, "You do no. See, number one, the church as we know it is not in order. Because the thing Jesus left in the first thing we have seen by omitting God's word. Go ye therefore into all the world. Some folks don't want to do that. And I just say to the Father, I'm just so excited. Is there anybody that's on the line got a word they want to say as we close the program out? Amen.
I just thank God for the word. Amen. Because one thing, to be effective in God's kingdom is to teach his word. You know, no matter what we say or what we do, it's got to be the word of God. And that's how we be effective, and that's how people's lives be changed, because they are people that's looking for the sons of God that will manifest on this earth.
And
that's a part of our assignment, you know, to completely die to ourselves that someone else may live, you know. And to have the love as the Father. When you begin, you ask some great questions, woman of God. And who kingdom are you really? Kingdom are you really building? Is the kingdom the most important thing to you, or is it your desires the most important thing to you? And the thing should be that we who answer the call, it should be God's kingdom and God's business. You know, those who are led by the Spirit must also walk by the Spirit. And a lot of times we don't do that. We say we're led by the Spirit, but how many, and just take a look around. It's a dying world out there, and it's time to be truly effective. You know, I talked to Dr. Hunter a few days ago, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to put it out there because it's the truth. It's too many apostles, it's too many bishops, it's too many preachers, it's too many evangelists and teachers just telling lies.
All right.
And you hit on it, woman God. See, we got to learn how to be naked before God. If we be naked before God, it ain't nothing in the world that we can't tell one another, because you said it. We got to get back to testifying. We overcome through the blood of the Lamb, through the words of our testimony, and that's
Amen.
What's going to bring people out of the places that they are. We got to have the love and the compassion of God and minister out of grace and minister out of love and stop trying to add our own two cents to it, our feelings,
right.
our emotions to it, and say
right.
exactly what does said the Lord. If you're not hearing the voice of God, read his word, because he says in the beginning was the word was with God, and God was the word. Just speak the word. The word would not return itself non-void. That's what God said. He said, send it out, it's going to accomplish what it's supposed to do. And that's what we got to start doing, is speaking the word of God. It tells us a preacher that's been sent. You got to know, first of all, you've been sent. Then when you know that you've been sent, you teach the gospel out of peace and out of grace. That's what the word of God tells me. There's so many people that's chopping down God's people. Yeah, they want to know. But so many people are turned away because of people standing up there in those pulpits lying and got all these different masks on, exactly what you said, not standing naked before God. If you're going to take this call, because I'm telling you, we're going to get back to the days and the time when, talking about the holy temple. You know, you could not enter into the intercourse if you was not holy. And that's what God is saying. Get back living a pure life before me so somebody else can see that I can also live this spotless, blemished life the same way that he has called us to do. Jesus was a perfect example. This is how you walk this thing out. Keep on seeking the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all else to be added to you. You ain't got to worry about anxiety. You ain't got to worry about depression. You ain't got to worry about suppression. You don't have to worry about anything if you continue to seek God. My word is a hidden treasure. It's like a hidden treasure in a field, but you got to go search it out.
Amen.
And that's what we got to do. They got to go search the word out, and the ones that don't know, we got to teach them. The problem of the world is that they got to be retaught. They got to be retaught, and some people, they got to just humble themselves to say, you know what? I erred in this thing. Let me
That's
get
right.
it right. Because I'm seeing, let me, as long as you're on this earth, you should always be teachable. That's the
Amen.
Only way a good teacher, that's the only way a good teacher is going to be able to teach, is that you be teachable yourself and you always learn. We are in an army.
Amen.
And I was talking to one of my younger cousins today because we lost his sister in a tragic accident. A truck, the trailer hit them in the behind, and I'm telling you, it split her. It severed her a spine from her neck, and she died on impact, but they did not pronounce her dead until enough family got here and say that she was dead. I'm telling you, we don't know the second, the minute, or the hour that the Son of Man will return. Everybody keep waiting for him to crack that sky open, but he says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. This is an individual thing. Yes, it is going to be a whole, that he come back for us all in a whole, but right now, he's doing it individually, and we got to, any time we get the opportunity to preach, teach the word of God, we need to do it in grace and love that somebody, forbid one soul be lost. We are about soul winning for God. Even when Jesus Christ died up on that cross, he took a soul with him.
Amen.
And that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. Even dying to ourselves. We got to take some souls with us. That's the same exact thing. And it's time.
Amen.
These apostles and bishops and stuff, get on the mountainside. Get on the backside of the mountain and really seek the face of God. I am so serious about my Father's business.
Hallelujah.
I'm so
hallelujah
about my Father's business. He told us we would do greater work, and he told
there?
Us that we can call out any kind of sickness, matters of sickness and disease, and we can cast out unclean spirits and demons and devils. He told us in the Word, and like you said, sister, I'm another believer. I believe this Word from concept to concept to concept.
Amen.
From A to B to Z, all the way through this Word. I believe this Word, and I believe what my Father said, and that's where I'm at. I'm in that place.
Amen.
I will spend time to seek his face.
Amen.
On the behalf of others that somebody else may live. It ain't
somebody
about me. See, I know about Jesus.
Amen.
I know about he's our Savior.
I know about
he's our deliverer. I know he's our provider. I know he's our healer. I know he's our deliverer. But see, I'm trying to get somebody else the same way.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much with love and kindness tonight, because, see, I have so much joy out of listening to God is doing, what God has raised up, this radio station, and it's people that we know that are here, and I just say this to you, that tonight is listen. I want you to know one thing. Willie Hunter was not always a good guy. But Willie Hunter had a past that, no, if I begin to tell you my past, you say, oh, no. Yeah, that was that man, but does he live here today? No, he does not. No, I don't know him. I heard of him, but I don't know him. But I want to say this to all the men that are listening. Brother, that's why people don't get to call me an apostle, a prophet, but a doctor. Always, you can just come and say, Brother Hunter, you have esteemed the Word of God in my life. Those papers that I have this Sunday said, oh, I already know. But what I have, the gift of God. And I know that 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 I know. Because as I was speaking with a lady, and she's a witness, and I had come to the end of my rope. I knew I had the faith. I just said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I said, help me. All of a sudden, I laid my phone down. The number showed up. I called somebody. Man, you don't know me, and I don't know you. I said, but I got an issue. I need some help. I got a radio station, and I don't know what to do. I need some people who can come and help me. And she says, I just got through talking to God. So whatever you want me to do, I do it. And you know what? I dropped the phone. Because God can answer you instantly. When your heart is pure and your actions are pure, God will answer you on time, in time, by time, through time. He'll do it. And as the sister say, he ain't nothing but a lie. He's a pack of lies. And I know what I know, what God is doing now. And here we are. But I need you that listening out there. Because if you have an office in the body of Christ and you're not fulfilling it, I tell you one thing. Put it, lay it down at the altar and go back and say, God, help me. Because if we got the apostles, I don't see many miracles happening. I don't see many prophets going out there. I don't hear many teachers coming. Everybody say, well, it's not mine. I can say, did I come to your church and have a revival? Well, we don't do that here. You lay hands, you talk about laying. No, we don't do that here. Y'all speaking to, no, we don't do that here. Well, what in the world do you do besides zero? Amen. But I know that I know this. I know that God loves us. He loves us. He loves us so. And the more I've been studying the Word of God and taking a sure aim at it, because the Word of God, God showed me in His Word in the book of Psalms, and I'm sitting there and I said, my God, God said, I'm talking to you. God said, when you find me, you find life. When you find me, you find life. Hallelujah. When you find God's Son, you find life. And I just say this much because I don't want to get all fired up, but I thank God for you ladies tonight. And I tell you, y'all show how to bake a cake. Y'all showing how to bake a cake. Anybody else got something else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
See,
amen.
Amen. See, as I'm getting happy, but that's all right. And as I was on my way back from tea today, where I go to get my rehabilitation, I said to the man, I said, sir, I said, I call y'all at 5 o'clock, and then y'all go to Benny to pick me up. I said, I need to be home at 7 o'clock because I got a program on. Come on at 7 o'clock. I got here 2 minutes for the program. But see, God will always get you on time, in time, by time, when you have God. I have God program on my heart. Because I want to reach and touch and tell the untold. I'm not interested in being a big timer. This I've been there. When I was in the world, I lived that lifestyle. But I want to be a son of God. I want to be able to lay hands on folks and see their blind eyes open, their body that's maimed, bring them back to me. And yes, we did have a meeting, a prayer walk for a woman. We believe we raised her from the dead. But I got words not too long ago that she went to be with the Lord. Sometimes God does things to those of us who can believe. What God has given us, you think I'm going to stop praying for somebody that I can raise the dead? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Why? Because God said, you have not because you ask not. I'm asking him for the whole radio station, for those who are listening behind the scenes. I'm asking Yeshua HaMashiach that he give us the authority. But more than ever, from the east coast to the west coast, from the north to the south, the time has come. As the man is in the cotton field, anybody ready to quit now? No, Lord, I'm not ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I know what God is doing. I know what God can do. I know. I've seen it. And I'm not going to leave this earth realm until I have fulfilled what God has said to me. I want to be like Miss Osmond said when she said, it was her time she left to serve for him. She said she asked the question, Lord, have I done everything you want me to do? And the Lord, she said before she passed on to the Lord, she says, yes. That the Lord told her, you've done everything I've asked you to do. Now, what a way to go home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. What a way to go to be. When you went before the one who brought you into this world and you said, have I done everything? On record, God's the only one. God is the only one. And see, the reason why a lot of women are taking over pastors, it's because the men have left the fold. They all want to get upset. They want to do that. They want to sit back. Well, you got to do this. Hogwash. So-and-so is in town. So what? Is Jesus Christ here? Amen. I love y'all. Anybody else got anything to say on the radio tonight? Across America, across the world? Because I'm holding my tears back. I'm full of joy. Sonia, you blessed me tonight. I want you to know you blessed me tonight with the Word of God. You blessed me.
We thank the Lord.
Amen. You blessed me tonight. You blessed me, and I thank God. ain't got to look back. I got to look forward. I'm looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the only one. I ain't trusting nobody but him. The arm of flesh, it'll destroy me every time. How many arms have I trusted and been failed? Oh, thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for everything, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for hearing me, Father. Thank you for hearing my heart. Thank you for hearing these women's hearts. Thank you for those men's hearts. Thank you, Father. And, Father, we just believe that you're the only one right now. And I'm asking you because you promised me if I can, my petition, this is the confidence that I have in you, Father. This is the confidence that I have. Nothing but a holy confidence. Holy confidence. That's the confidence we have. Because you hear our petition. And we're asking you for the greatest revival in America, around the world.
Yes, Lord.
Not for a show class, but for a gospel class. The gospel is spreading in Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Just like that first program that was on tonight, you know, talking about trusting God, you know, we have to keep our eyes on God. You know, Peter was a perfect example, and I know everybody liked to tell that Peter walked on water for a minute because he took his eyes off of God. And no matter what the struggle, no matter what the storm, no matter what the situation or the circumstance it may be, I just encourage people to don't take your eyes off of God. Trust him. Because he's a God that he shall not lie, nor a son of man, that he have to repent. And if he said it, so shall it be done. And it has been done, and it has been proven that it's been done throughout the word of God. There's so many stories that we could tell of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done through the stories in the Bible. But once again, people are looking for testimonies out of your own individual lives what God has done. And I just want to leave people with, you know, not only did he save my life, but he saved my life. I was walking deaf. I was walking deaf. I went into a hospital feeling fatigued and feeling tired. And when the doctor started doing my blood work, my blood count was only a 0.4. And that's real low for a woman. I was walking deaf. So I know the healing power and the miracle working power that God has for each and every one of us. And we just tap into what he's already put in us, the greater one. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that's what we have to tap into. Remember, we were first spirit beings before we were just flesh. And we must return back to being a spirit being. Because ashes and dust to dust shall we return. So tap into that supernatural. Tap into that power of God. And let God keep you and hold you.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen.
We in his hand. No man can pluck us out. And that's what we gotta people and tell people. If people been taught the wrong way for so long, but nobody wants to come back and tell the truth. And we know only the truth is gonna set us free.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're on the radio tonight, you need to give your life to Christ. If you haven't turned your life over to the Lord, you need to give your life to Jesus. It's time to stop running, ducking, hiding. You don't have to live like you're living. Turn your life over to Christ tonight. You don't have to live like you're living. And God has got the answer, the solution to everything you're going to through. You don't have to live like this. Turn your life over to Christ. He's got peace for you. He forgives you of your sins. And he's got healing and deliverance. Whatever you're doing, whoever you are, you can come like you are.
My.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
He's got a new life for you. It's a new life. It's a newness of life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? One thing about it, he makes us winners. He gives us the ability to conquer everything that have held us down in life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about your ability. It's about the Holy Spirit working through you, but you're the one that have to turn your life over to Christ. You know, one thing that's so beautiful about it is he gives us a choice.
Amen.
And he said, choose life. And
choose
the only life there is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You're not living life unless you choose Jesus.
Amen.
That is life. Amen. That is peace. I know how to get to peace. Jesus is the answer.
Exactly.
Whatever you're going through, wherever you are, whoever you are, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about what you have done. It doesn't matter about how you're living right now. You can step right out of that into peace. You don't have to be confused about all this sexuality. There's no confusion in the Lord. He'll straighten all that out in you. Just bring it on.
Jesus.
You don't have to worry about all that. Because, see, you know, people are concerned. Well, what about this? I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Don't worry about it. Just come on.
Yes.
God will straighten all that out, you know. You know, you can't figure it out. You can't lean on your own understanding. Your understanding got you where you are today. Just come on. And that's, you know, that's what the woman with the issue of blood, somebody told her, and I'm telling you tonight.
Yeah.
You can step out of where you are into peace. You can step out of where you are into healing. You can step out of where you are into salvation tonight. You can be delivered tonight. You can be set free, made whole again.
Mm.
You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to hide no more.
My God.
Whatever it is, prescription pills, lesbian, gay, transvestite, it don't matter. None of that matters. Child molester, whatever. Everybody, they got a label for everybody.
Yes.
It doesn't matter because you can bring this to Christ. I mean, you bring it. He's not going to twist your arm and make you do something. He wants you to come willingly.
My God.
Saying, Lord, I know I need help.
My God,
I know
my
I don't want to live like this. I don't want to keep running out there finding these little kids and doing stuff with them I know I don't want to be doing, but I can't control myself. Well, bring it to the Lord.
Yeah.
He can change you.
Yeah.
But you the one got to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something on the inside of us that knows that there's a God. Romans 1 says, and it ain't lying either. It say we know that God exists.
Yeah.
And it also say you know when you're wrong, too. I knew when I was wrong. I knew when I was living in sin, and I knew it. Didn't nobody have to tell me. And I know that feeling. It's a knowing feeling down deep, and you don't have to feel like that no more.
Amen.
And one thing about it is you can't fix yourself. God is the creator.
Amen.
He is like the manufacturer. Like I said earlier, when you take your car, you don't take a Cadillac to the Volkswagen dealership. He's the dealership. He's the creator. He knows what to do for your condition, wherever you are. He knows what to do, and he's ready to do it. But he wants you to come and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
He wants you to step out of that and come clean. That's all. You ain't got to call me. All you got, you can write the prayer down. All it's very simple. All you got to say is, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And you need to mean it when you say it. Because, see, he ain't looking at what you say. He's looking at your heart.
Heart. Come on.
Say it.
All you got to say is, Lord, you can say it. I was out there standing out there smoking a cigarette. Nobody was around me when I said what I said. He knew I meant what I said because I was tired of living like that. And
yeah.
That's what I said. I'm tired of my life like this. I'm tired of living like this.
My God.
So all you got to do is just cry out to God wherever you are. And I had a good friend. We both was going through the mess at the same time, and she was in a room by herself, and she cried out to God. That thing worked. Because after we got through crying out to him, he took all those wrong things out of us, and we were new women. We were new women. Now, I don't know if I would believe anybody if they told me that, but I know it happened to me.
Now I know it.
And I could not change myself. All you got to do, wherever you are, if you don't call in to us, it's okay. But just cry out to him wherever you are. He hear us when we cry. He hear us when we pray.
Amen.
And, honey, a lot of times prayer don't look like these beautiful prayers they say on TV. You just cry out from where you are.
Yes, come
and
on.
Say, Lord, I'm just tired of my life like this. You know, he hear you. Say, I repent of my sins. And you know what?
Yes.
They were talking on this radio. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. And you know what? God hear you, and he will lead you to where you need to go from there.
Absolutely.
He will lead you to a Bible, believing people and church, a congregation, even if it's just in your house. Don't worry about the building and all this stuff you've seen that's learned behavior from before. Look here, when two or more gather together, he's in our midst.
Yeah.
And if you just get somebody around you that is in that word, that believe that word, y'all got a church.
Amen.
Because, see, it ain't about these big buildings and these brick buildings and these signs out front. It ain't about numbers either. You know, there's big churches, little churches, all that. But you know what? The church is us. We got the church here on the radio tonight. You know, so don't get caught up in all this stuff you see. You can cry out from wherever you are right now. Don't worry about what you in or what you've been, how you've been living. That ain't, God got all that. He'll take care of all that. He's the master cleanser. He know how to fix you. He know how to fix me. He know how to take care of all this stuff.
Amen.
Give God a chance tonight. You done gave everything else a chance. Like I told you earlier, I tried everything. I just want to throw it out there. I think I did try everything. And it didn't work.
It didn't
you know?
Work.
And I know peace.
Peace.
I know peace. And peace is the Prince of Peace, which is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Christ. Yes. Hallelujah.
And he's saying, it doesn't matter about how much money you have, what kind of car you got. None of that matters. Just cry out to him from wherever you are. Just be honest about the things. And he accepts you.
Yes.
And, you know, in case somebody looking for the phone number, you can call us at 347-850-8955. While we're on the radio station, that is 347-850-8955. 347-850-8955. Because we want you to know that the time is now. If you're listening behind the scenes, call in, and we want to pray with you, pray for you, and believe for you, because we know God loves you. He gave all he had. As I've said, knowing that I know, he said, Jesus said on his last words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. In other words, my God, why have you forsaken me? He didn't know the pain he had to go through was going to be that devastating. But the Father turned his head and refused to look on sin. So what makes anybody better than anybody? Go to Jesus. Get your good scrubbing. Get your good washing. Get your good understanding. And as the sisters have said, God loves you. Ain't nobody but God. And one sister said she and bless you, so she done tried everything, it didn't work. I know I have tried everything when I was back there, but it didn't work. But I've tried Jesus. I've been on nothing but fire. And I thank God that God has me in the position that he has me in. And I said all the time, nobody but God know my position. But when you are a man, knowing you trust God, here I am, after my, what happened, God sent a complete woman to me. And I'm going to tell you, you men, you better start listening to some of the women who talk about God and tell what God say. And I said to myself, oh, my Lord, here go another silly woman now. Here go another silly woman. That's what I said. The Lord says she's not. You need to hear what she got to say. And I listen. Am I building somebody up? No, I'm telling the truth. And the words that were spoken dropped from my lips to hit my heart to make me know, God is available. She's on the line with me right now. And did she come to tell me what God told me? God said, he's going to raise a big tall man like you. He's going to do this. He's going to do this. I said to myself, I got scared. I got close to my wife as if my wife's going to protect me. Here I am, 6'2" and a half inches, and my wife, a little woman. I'm going to try to hide behind her. Lord said, no, she should have told you, thus said the Lord. See, a lot of preachers don't want to hear what women got to say. Somebody behind the scenes say amen. Thank you very kindly. Amen. So I say this, anybody else tonight, we're going to close it out with prayer. Amen.
Man.
So Sonia, go and close that with prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for this time to speak your word. We thank you for the presence of your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word in due season. We thank you, Lord God, for hearts and of good ground this evening, Father God. And we bind the enemy right now that tries to take this word. We bind him and cast him to the pit of hell, and we speak over all the listeners tonight that your word has gone forward and that it has touched the hearts and it's been heard by every listener and that they have received it in their heart. And, Father God, we just praise you for it. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the author and the finisher. We thank you that you've given us the measure of faith. We thank you for the listeners being given this measure of faith, oh God. And, Father, we just thank you and declare that your kingdom come and your will be done from what was spoken forth tonight on this radio station. Father, we give you the glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. We believe we receive this word, and we thank you for the effectiveness of your word, that it does not go out and return to you void, but it does accomplish what it was sent forth to do. So we thank you for the souls being saved for the kingdom of heaven. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And remember all these words. Remember, I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So until next time, God bless you and keep you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.